Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This
is After Sunday.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of After Sunday Digging Deeper. I am one of your co-hosts, Elissa, and I am joined yet again by Emily.
Hey!
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thanks.
And welcome back to our listeners.
Yes.
We skipped last week, so sorry about that. We had a little bit of construction going on in our studio, so we took a bit of a hiatus, but we are back this week with Nehemiah.
Yes.
So as a quick recap for everybody, we are going through each book of the Bible this year. So 66 books, 52 weeks. So some weeks we'll cover one book, some weeks we'll cover multiple. This week we've just got Nehemiah, and we're also looking at it as the Bible is God's love letter to his people. And mm-hmm. we're picking out some characteristics that we see yes. through each of the books. So Nehemiah, yeah. Today, God is our strength in opposition.
Yes.
That's the key takeaway from today. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about opposition first, I guess.
Yeah.
What's some opposition that I feel like we face today?
Ooh. So where do I start? I don't know. I feel like there are so many things. It's obviously going to depend on the person, what opposition you're going through. But like mine will be different from yours, obviously. Like, because
yeah.
I've got I have school. I have to figure out where I'm going to be in a few months. Like all these trials and things that I just don't know
right.
what I'm like. I have no idea what's happening in my life. Like literally no idea. Like every day I'm like, okay, yes, new thing. But
I think that's where I guess trying to put your trust in the Lord. Kind
of 100%. I have never trusted the Lord more than I do right now in this season of my life, because I am like, I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, okay, girl.
Well, as someone who's been there before, I promise it does get better and things will start to fall into place.
That's what I'm hoping.
And,
I'm like,
and
it'll all work out.
Yes. They'll start to make sense.
Right.
So something that I feel like happens when you face opposition, or you may not encounter it in every season of your life, but mm-hmm. the more that you're trying to follow the will of the Lord, mm-hmm. the more opposition is going to crop up. So
yes.
we have the devil to thank for that.
Yes, shall
because he's like, oh no, they're on the right path, they're doing the right mm-hmm. thing. I want you back.
Right.
So
what can I do to get you back and get off this good path so I can have you back?
Exactly. So if when we do good and when we follow the Lord, we are faced with opposition, why would we want to do that? Why would that be something that people would willingly be like, yeah, that sounds
right.
good. Sign me up for Christianity.
Right.
And I think the short answer is the reward. You know, in
yeah.
James, we're told to count it on all joy when we fall into various trials, because ultimately it's going to make our faith stronger.
Absolutely.
So something that I feel like, you know, when opposition comes, when hard times come, people are like, why?
Right.
I don't
why
understand.
God. Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the things we need to keep, like, that is the why behind.
Absolutely.
When trials and opposition.
And I think it's important to remember that, like, you're going to hit some mountains, you're going to hit some valleys, but like flowers
Absolutely.
Do grow in the valley. If mm-hmm. that saying, I always have loved that saying, because it's like,
that's a new one for me.
Really? You've never heard it?
I've never
flowers
heard that.
Grow in the valley. Write it down. Just kidding.
Okay.
I've always liked that one, 'cause it's like in the trials, in the opposition, there will be some happy moments, but like, it's going to all be worth it in the end, because eternity is going to be worth it. If you want to think of it in like the super long run.
Right.
Like,
absolutely. So now let's jump into our responses to opposition and look at what Ezra and Nehemiah both do. So I think a lot of times when we face opposition, we the knee-jerk reaction is, why me?
Right.
Why?
Absolutely.
Why is this happening to me? Yep. But let's look at how Nehemiah and Ezra react. And their first reaction is twofold. It's they have grief.
Yes.
They are sad to see the nation kind of fall away, fall into spiritual ruin, if you will. And then they pray. So one of the things, our first point today is that God strengthens his people through prayer before the battle.
Yes.
So when opposition comes, the best way to prepare for opposition is to start before it ever happens.
I think we forget that too. I think we automatically just, like, something bad happens and we're like, oh, pray. Or we just push it out of the way. And it's like, oh, instead of praying before.
Exactly.
Like, constantly.
So Nehemiah, initially, he kneels in prayer first before before opposition ever comes. And he's moved to tears.
Yeah.
And in that, you know, God is, you know, Nehemiah kneels in supplication and God is moved. And in Nehemiah doing that, he shows his dependence on God.
Yeah.
And that's where the work really begins, is God really wants us to depend on him, to rely on him and turn to him before we fall into those trials, before we face persecution, that opposition. It's easy to pray, I feel like, when we're going through a hard time or a difficult time.
Absolutely.
And I feel like when things are going well for us, when we're on a spiritual high or on that mountain, like you just referenced.
Absolutely.
We forget.
Yes.
And so it's so important to remember and to lean on that prayer.
Yep.
And to keep that dialogue open, if you will. So Nehemiah prays, and then the king, Artaxerxes, he provides protection for Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of point number one.
Yeah. And then if we want, we can move right into point number two, because that kind of goes hand in hand. But point number two is God strengthens his people through courage. And I think a little bit about, like, this part, we were kind of hitting on chapter four, and there was Tobias, and I think some other people were just kind of like mocking the wall, like mocking that this wall was being built. And it was just kind of like, well, like, okay, that's annoying. Like, they were, Craig described it as them bullying. And I was like, that's so funny. But so they really were.
So Nehemiah, he's working to rebuild the wall
around
the city.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and when they start to rebuild, that's when we see the opposition crop up. And it's, you know, Tobiah was, I think, mocking. There were threats of attack and really sowing, like, fear throughout the people. And so let's, again, look at the response. So, A, we start with prayer.
Yes.
And then, B, we move to preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And then perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
I think the phrase that was used is they had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other.
Yeah.
So when we're faced with opposition, whether that's things like mockery, which I think is, you know, we deal with today.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think people will be like, oh, I'm a Christian. Why?
Right. Why?
Especially, like we talked about in the beginning, why? It's a hard road.
Yeah.
We're going to be faced with opposition. We're going to, you know, fall into various trials.
Yep.
We find it, we read in James. So why? And so people will mock us, and then they're going to, you know, threats of attack. That's nothing new. We see that throughout the Bible, throughout the Old and New Testament. And fear. And fear is one of those really hard things. I know it's, you know, in, and I don't remember what exact verse it is, but, you know, the cowardly won't enter heaven. And that's fear. And when we let fear control us, we're paralyzed to inaction. And that's not how, you know, our heart should be when we look at, you know, spreading the gospel and talking about Jesus.
Absolutely.
Another thing that I thought was really interesting about this point, notice what God didn't do. He didn't remove the opposition.
Yeah.
It's not like there's opposition and Nehemiah prayed and he's like, oh, take it away. You know, please take this, you know, take this away from me. I don't want to go through this. Because the lesson here is really like, how do we find the strength to endure if we don't have these trials, if we don't have opposition? How is our faith going to grow?
It's not.
Exactly.
Period.
So that's it's a good thing to take away.
Yeah.
And then the third point from Nehemiah is God strengthens us through shared leadership and spiritual renewal. So looking at Ezra, you know, he steps forward, and he was trying to, you know, change the people's hearts, remind them of the law, things like that. And then Nehemiah, he was going to rebuild the wall. So they step forward together.
Yeah.
You got Ezra and Nehemiah. And that the faithful partnership between the two really strengthened the Lord's people. You know, Nehemiah brought the courage and Ezra brought the knowledge and the law. And together is how they really moved forward.
Yeah. I like it when Craig said Ezra was rebuilding the hearts of the people and Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of the city.
Yep.
Because both of those things were important and both of those things needed to be done.
Yep. And so another key takeaway is God doesn't strengthen people who are in isolation. So we need our church family and we need that community to surround us. That is where we find our strength.
Yes. In each other.
Exactly.
Because if you don't have each other, then you're just going to sit there and like,
yep.
I like a lot of people like to be like, oh, I can do it by myself, but you can't. Like, that's not what we're designed to do. That's not what we're made to do. We're made to be surrounded by people and to have community to lift us up and to get us through the valleys and the mountains.
Mm-hmm. All right. So moving through Nehemiah, Nehemiah is, he's going to go away for a little bit in chapter 10. And he charges the people to do a couple of things, four things. He says, protect the temple, support the Levites, the priests, honor the Sabbath, and maintain covenant purity. So we got those four things. So spoiler alert, they don't do any of that.
None of them.
The temple is compromised. They neglected to support the priest. They ignored the Sabbath. They were doing business on the Sabbath. And then the spiritual compromise and maintaining the covenant purity, they were intermarrying with people of
different
other religions. And so what that does, people are a little confused when that comes up. They're like, why weren't they supposed to intermarry? Like, and it's because when you intermarry, the people who are coming in to coming into that marriage are bringing their other religious beliefs and kind of corrupting the law that we're supposed to be following. So that's why that was like a no-no, please don't do that. So Nehemiah comes back in chapter 13 and he corrects everything. He cleanses the temple. He restores the provision. He starts enforcing the Sabbath and he confronts the sin of intermarriage. So what I want to spend the last couple of minutes talking about today is the application where we find those four things and how we can kind of apply that today. So looking at the first one, so the temple compromise. So I guess in this day and age, you know, our church building isn't sacred.
Right.
It's just a building. But I think one of the ways that we kind of bring corruption in is that, you know, we bring the world into our worship.
Yeah.
So many times I see churches, you know, bringing in things that aren't sanctioned in the Bible, that aren't authorized solely for the purpose not to build up or to, you know, strengthen the word of the Lord. It's to entertain.
Absolutely.
And that's
just to entertain. Yep.
That's not the purpose of worship.
That's feeding the flesh instead of feeding the spirit.
Write that down. Write that down. There you go. There's a little nugget to take for you. Okay, so second one, provisions for priests. Mm. So this one's a little bit more of not a direct comparison, but we do this today by undervaluing the importance of spiritual leadership.
Absolutely.
The people who lead in your congregation or in your life, when's the last time you told them thank you?
Right.
When's the last time that you went up to your eldership and said, thank you so much for the work that you do?
Yeah.
Typically, again, there's a theme here. Just wait. We come to our eldership and we say, oh, this isn't working right, or this needs to be fixed, or this
is
broken.
It's a complaint.
So again, it's easy to go to them when things aren't working right, when things are hard, but it's much harder to remember to do that when things are, you know,
going well.
Yeah, everything's working as it should
be.
And it's like, oh, great, exactly. And so we need to kind of keep that in the forefront of our mind.
Yeah.
Okay, the third one, enforcing the Sabbath. So we don't keep the Sabbath holy today, but what happens in our lives is we glorify the busy.
Oh, true.
What's the time? I mean, like every time I ask somebody, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm busy.
Yep.
I'm so busy.
Swamped.
When did busy become like this thing that we put on a pedestal?
True. Very true.
Like, when's the last time that you thought like, I'm busy, but like, do I really need to be?
Right.
What is filling up all of that time that I say is busy? And so we allow these things to creep in and take priority over spirituality, over the time we spend in the word, over the time we spend in service to the church, to our communities, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one that I'm like, ooh, that one hit
me
home.
As well. I was like, oh, got me. Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Dang.
Yep. So way to go, Craig.
Right.
Good job.
Thanks,
Good
Craig. Job.
And then our last one, spiritual compromise. And the thing that I thought of when Craig was talking about this is so much I see today is the spiritual tolerance that comes
absolutely.
In. And because of our culture, it's like we allow what is considered okay and accepted in our culture today to kind of seep into our spirituality, even if the Bible tells us, it's sinful.
Yeah.
And we do that a lot of Christians do this in the name of tolerance. Like, I'm just trying to, be accepting. And it's like, okay, well,
but where's the line?
Where's the line?
Where's the line?
And the line is defined in the Bible. And,
absolutely.
You know, we love everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone has sinned and fallen short. We mm-hmm. do it. We are not perfect. We are not, Christians are not a group of perfect people.
Absolutely.
We're hypocrites, at the worst of times. And, we sin unwittingly at the best of times.
Yep.
And
I think we can also get Christians and the church specifically can get a bad rap for that. But it's mm-hmm. No, wait, we're humans too. Like, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to fall short. We just have to exude that to others and just lead with the Bible and lead with what Jesus was doing.
And lead with love. Absolutely. Ultimately.
Yeah.
Just because we're right doesn't mean that we're winning over hearts.
Yeah.
We have to, build relationships with people and show them that we care. We care for their eternal soul. And that's why we have those hard conversations where maybe we address sin in people's lives but we're doing it from a place of love and caring and saying I care about you and I'm here to help you through this.
Yeah.
And we lose that, I think, a lot.
100%.
So many times it's like, but people come at those conversations because they want to be right.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no.
But the point is we want to win hearts, not just be right.
Yes, absolutely.
So closing, bringing it all together, closing up today, opposition is not a sign that God has abandoned you. Just the opposite. It really signifies that the work that you're doing matters, and when it arises, and it will arise, God is going to strengthen us.
Yes.
Nehemiah rebuilt walls, Christ rebuilds hearts. So let's go out this week and do our best to rebuild those hearts and be lights in the world.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Whether you start your week with us, whether you use us as a midweek pick-me-up, whether you end your week with us, we are so happy you are here. If you're feeling generous, you can rate and review the podcast. Leave us a nice note and a comment. We'd really appreciate it. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
This
is After Sunday.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.